Senator Cruz and I came up with a plan. We said, look, it's a two-step process. The Democrats have offered to open up everything but ICE. Ted and I said, okay, let's accept their offer. And then at the same time, we would offer a bill for reconciliation where we don't need any Democratic votes to do whatever we wanted to do with ICE. And that way we're out of the shutdown and DHS is back open. We submitted that, Senator Cruthoon submitted that to President Trump, as is his right. He said no. No deals with the Democrats.
That man you just heard right there is my next guest. He has served as a Republican senator from the great state of Louisiana since 2017. He sits on several important committees, including Appropriations Committee, Banking Committee, Budget Committee, and the Judiciary Committee, and has written a best-selling book called How to Test Negative for Stupid and Why Washington Never Will. Please welcome, for the first time, the straight shooter, the one and only Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. Good evening, sir. How are you? Thank you for being on the show. How you doing?
Even I'm well. I'm walking on sunshine, man. I'm out of Washington and back here in America. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much. I'll get into that line later. You're away from Washington, so you're in a good place, and it's not Washington. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Let me get to this first question for you. So you were right there speaking. You publicly suggested that Trump killed your deal to pay TSA workers, a few days ago. You had told Fox News that, quote, we could have had TSA pay by the end of the week, but the president said no deal. So when the Republicans say this is a Democratic shutdown, explain to us how is that possible when you acknowledge that you and Senator Ted Cruz had a deal that you presented to the president and he was the one that turned it down.
Well, in my judgment, it's a Democratic shutdown because we approved, by we, I mean the Democrats and the Republicans in the Senate, approved the DHS budget, Homeland Security budget that we're fighting on. And after the Democrats, my Democratic colleagues approved it, Senator Schumer told them to unapprove it. And that's how we ended up in a shutdown. What I said in the clip you played is all absolutely true, with a slight modification. Yes, the president disagreed with what Ted and I proposed. He didn't kill it. The very next day, he supported it. And frankly, then he changed his mind again based on his remarks the other day, because we were going to do just what I was talking about. But I got a communication from Senator Thune today saying the president now supports it. What we proposed will work. I understand that the House is going to change its vote, or at least be asked to and approve it. And here's what we'll do. Everything will be open except for ICE and Border Patrol. And then we'll do what's called a reconciliation bill, through which we don't need Democratic support. We'd love to have it, but if we don't get it, we can still pass the bill and fund ICE and Border Patrol without them. And within, I hope, the next 2 to 3 weeks, the entire department will be open.
Educate us, Senator, about, isn't ICE already funded through the year 2029?
It is.
Isn't that the case?
It has extra money. We anticipated that this might happen, Stephen. So when we passed the one big beautiful bill, we put in extra money for ICE. It won't take us all the way through 2029. And that's what we've been fighting over. And frankly, my colleagues, I'm back in Louisiana, asked me, you know, what's going on right now in the Senate, and I tell them the truth. It looks like, imagine that the Hindenburg crashed into the Titanic. It's just a god-awful mess, and I'm tired of listening to all the rhetoric. It's starting to lower my IQ, but that's why Cruz and I don't mean to blame it on Ted, but I want to share credit. Because it was Ted's idea, too. We came up with this procedure, and it's been on again, off again, on again, off again, but now it's back on again. And by God, it'll work, and we'll get past this and can move on to something else.
But you've openly acknowledged that Trump has been a model of inconsistency when it comes to this issue, because he didn't like it, but then he said he was all right with it, and then he comes back, he's not all right with it, whatever. I'm wondering, at what point, you know, does no deals with the Democrat, with the Democrats, become no leadership from the White House? At what point does that happen, your estimation?
Well, the president changes his mind. All presidents do. What happened on this procedure, the president changed his mind. He didn't kill it. When I gave that clip you played, when I gave that interview, it was true. We took it to him, and he said no, he didn't kill it, because he approved it the next day. But he changed his mind again. But now he is, I'm told, I haven't spoken to him, that he's going to endorse our approach. Look, I don't want to do any of this without Democrats, Stephen. I don't hate anybody. When I say my prayers at night, I ask God, don't let me hate. It's not worth it. I know every one of my Democratic colleagues. I like them all. Some I like better than others, but it's also true of my Republican colleagues as well. I would love to be able to do this with Democratic support, but here's what's happening, and everybody knows it. The Democratic Party has factions, just like the Republican Party, and what I call the loon wing, the Karen wing, the radical wing of the Democratic Party is in control. Now, are all Democrats members of the loon wing? No, they're not. But the loon wing's in control. And the loon wing, which is in control, I'm talking about Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, Mayor Mamdani, for example, Bernie Sanders, they want to defund ICE. Just like they wanted to defund the police. Now, we know how that vampire movie turned out, but that means that no Democrat, because they're scared of the loon wing of their party, is going to vote in any form or fashion, including Senator Schumer, to fund ICE in any way. There's nothing we can offer them. That is their choice. I wish it wasn't their choice, but it is, and that's why we have to do it with only Republican votes.
Do you believe that the Democratic Party is at the mercy of the quote unquote loon wing of the party? But I'm asking you, do you believe it's because of that they're fearful of them, or do you believe that MAGA plays a role because we live in a binary system and it's one side or the other, so they have very little choice because what's going on your side of the aisle, meaning the right of the right wing? What about that?
Well, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. With every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And the Republican Party has factions as well. But if you look at the Democratic Party right now, and what a majority of those in control, not all Democrats, but a majority of those in control stand for. Kids being able to change genders at recess. Defund the police. Right now, it's defund ICE. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Seuss, Mr. Potato Head, they're all racist. That's what the Democrats in control right now stand for. This is not the party of Bill Clinton. It's not. Now, this is America. You can believe what you want to believe, but I think that is a demonstrable fact. And anybody that gets out of line on the Democratic side is going to be punished politically. Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez is the head of the party.
Ocasio. Yes.
She is the head of the party, and the vice chairman of the party is Mayor Mamdani. And Senator Schumer, yeah, he's the...
You really believe that?
I do believe that.
You really believe... I was getting ready to ask you about Chuck Schumer. What about Chuck Schumer? What about Hakeem Jeffries? I mean, you're talking about the leaders in the Senate, the minority leaders in the Senate and the House. They're not the leaders of the Democratic Party.
When is the last time you saw... the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, great guy, or Senator Schumer, who's a good friend of mine, when is the last time you saw them buck Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders? You haven't, not in the last 5 years, not on a single solitary issue. Chuck Schumer back in the spring when we had a shutdown, helped us open up government. He almost got killed.
Yes.
By the Moon Wing, the Karen wing of his party. He went through hell. He'll never do that again because he's up for re-election in 2028. I don't say this to mean spirit, be mean spirited, Stephen. That's just the honest to God's truth. And everybody knows it on Capitol Hill. And frankly, I think most Americans know that.
You can't blame them, though, can you? Because if you want to remain in office and you're hearing the footsteps of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, creeping up on you. I mean, look at what Trump did. Like you said, you and Cruz, you presented a bill. You know, you presented an option, you know, to end this shutdown. It was a damn good option. Trump turned it down. What does he do? He turns around and after originally not wanting it, he's endorsing the same basic architectural structure, and that was under political pressure. So he did it under political pressure, one could argue. What's wrong with understanding that Chuck Schumer has to deal with the same plight? Oh,
look, I understand where Chuck is, and we're all politicians. I don't care what anybody says. We're politicians. And the first thing a politician, generally speaking, wants is to be reelected. I get that. I get all that. But there are times when you have to take what I call gut check votes, where, for example, I've taken gut check votes. I supported over the president's objection and many of my own people's objection. I supported Ukraine and its fight against Russia and giving money to Ukraine. I got the living hell beat out of me by a lot of people in my party for that. But it was a gut check vote, and I did it because I think Putin is a pirate and has blood under his fingernails. And I want to see the Ukrainians give him a curb stomping and kick his ass. But that was an unpopular position to take. I don't want to get too technical, but a few years ago, we had a big fight over the net neutrality bill. I was the only Republican to vote for it. To me, it was a gut check vote. I could go on, and I'm not trying to be a hero, but they're just, I'm not taking my Senate salary right now. Most of my colleagues are. I'm not putting them down, but I tried to pass a bill which pissed off a lot of my Senate colleagues, saying none of us ought to get paid during the shutdown, and I couldn't pass it.
I agree.
I couldn't pass it. I'm not trying to be a hero. I just believe in shared sacrifice. And so I'm not taking my salary. There's only one other senator that I know of who's not, and that's Cruz. Maybe others aren't too, but
right.
I understand where Chuck's coming from, but at some point, if you don't believe all the things one after the other that you've got to say to be reelected, what's the point of serving?
We're talking to Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana right here on Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. The president will address the American people on the Iran war soon, tonight, 9 p.m., Senator Kennedy, with his approval rating at an all-time low of about 33% to 35%. Any thoughts on what he'll say, on what he should say, sir?
I don't know what he'll say. I know what I want him to say. I want him to say we went into Iran because we knew we had to destroy all of Iran's air force, its navy, its missiles, its drones, its missile production facilities, its drone production facilities, and the baby steps that it had started to take to gain a nuclear warhead. That was why we went in. We have done that. We either have done it or we'll be finished doing it in the next few weeks. And I hope the president will say that and say, I've accomplished what we wanted to accomplish, and we're coming home. Now, his critics will immediately say, yeah, but you left the Strait of Hormuz closed. We didn't close the Strait of Hormuz. Iran did. I can't control, we can't control, Americans can't control what Iran does. If it wants to leave the Strait shut down and cause the world to have a recession, it can try, but I don't think the rest of the world will put up with it. The criticism will be made if the president does what I just said. Well, Iran still has fissile material, enriched uranium. Yeah, it's buried about, 1,000 feet deep under a bunch of rocks, and we'll be able to know if they're trying to dig it out, and we can send in another bomb. And others will say, well, Mr. President, you didn't have regime change. We wanted regime change. It didn't happen. So should we send in 50,000, 100,000, 150,000 troops to try to take over Iran? I've seen that vampire movie before. It doesn't work. It's time to come home, in my opinion.
So you're clearly against boots on the ground. You don't want American soldiers in Iran.
I think we'll be walking into a quagmire. And once we get in, it will never get out. That's what I'm worried about. I don't have the intelligence the president has. But when I lie down to sleep at night these days and I can't, that's one of the things I'm worried about.
Senator John Kennedy right here on Straight Shooter. You said recently that the president was ending a war, not starting one, by joining the conflict alongside Israel. Explain to my listeners what you meant by that, sir.
Here's what our intelligence showed. Our intelligence showed that after the June bombing, where we bombed Iran's nuclear facilities, Iran immediately started doing two things. It started taking some baby steps to enrich more uranium and try to get a nuclear warhead. But more importantly, it revved up its missile manufacturing facilities. And it was producing between 200 and 600 missiles a month. And their goal in Iran was to stockpile enough missiles that they could restart in a big way their nuclear enrichment, or their uranium enrichment program. And then when the United States and Israel said, well, we're going to go back in, Iran was going to say, fine, come on back in. In the meantime, we've got the technology and the number of missiles. We'll destroy the Middle East. And by the way, our missiles can reach Turkey. They can reach Berlin. They can reach London. So if you want to come in and hit us again, this time we're ready to hit back. We went into Iran primarily to destroy those missiles and their ability to make more, and to destroy their navy and destroy their air force, and to try to hurt the Revolutionary Guard, which is a big part of their army, which is in control. We have done that. And if we haven't done that completely, we're 90% done and can finish it in the next couple of months. Regime change was never a part of this.
But are you sure about that, or are you just going off of what the president and the administration is telling you in terms of how much of their armed forces you've destroyed?
I believe the president, and I believe Rubio, and I believe John Ratcliffe, the CIA, and I believe Pete Hegseth. Okay. And they tell me that we have basically turned Iran into fish food, not the people, but their military infrastructure.
Understood. The president, what happened today, the president attended oral arguments at the Supreme Court today regarding his executive order to restrict birthright citizenship, the first time a sitting president has appeared at a high court hearing. Why does his second term agenda rely so heavily on the Supreme Court with pretty much all of these damn executive orders? Do you think that's justified, sir?
Well, the president pushes the envelope on a lot of things. And predictably, he gets sued, and the cases end up in the United States Supreme Court. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Our judiciary is supposed to tell us what's constitutional and what isn't. Unlike some of my colleagues, I don't think this particular Supreme Court is especially political. I've seen them agree with the president. I've seen them disagree with the president. They just struck down his entire tariff policy, really angered the president. The president went over there to hear the oral argument today. I don't know whether, he's the president. He can do what he wants. Sometimes that kind of subtle pressure backfires. This Supreme Court's very independent, every single one of them.
Yes. Senator John Kennedy, I'm going to tell you this. I got a statement, a quick statement to make, and then I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
What I like about you as I listen and I watch you, because I watch you a lot, because I see you a lot of times. What I like is I'm a typical American citizen from the perspective. We don't like BS. And we assume that BS is coming from the politicians. When it comes to you, I don't think anybody looks at you and sees what you said and think that you don't mean what the hell you say. You know what I'm saying? That's what I like about you. Two of my favorite people to listen to on Capitol Hill is you and Senator Hawley, to be quite honest with you. I can't wait to have him on the show as well, along with a few Democrats as well. I preface my question to you by saying that because, in all honesty, we look at both parties, and it's just an absolute mess, which you articulated at the start of this interview, how it's a cesspool on Capitol Hill. It's just bad right now. You said before that sometimes the majority means all the fools are on the same side. I'm quoting you here. I wrote down this quote that you said once. The majority means all the fools are on the same side. Right now, is your party governing effectively or making the same mistakes you've warned about?
I think we're governing effectively. But I don't think that the president is emphasizing the things that he ought to be emphasizing. You need to talk. We need to be talking about the things that moms and dads lie down when they lie down to sleep at night and can't, that they're worried about. They're worried about a lot of stuff, but right at the top of the list, Stephen, is the cost of living. They consider
affordability,
the cost of living. Inflation, whatever you want to call it, affordability. And I've told the president this. I think he needs to talk about it more. I think he's got a good story to tell, but for whatever reason, he doesn't like to talk about it. He's comfortable talking about immigration and the SAVE Act, which is important. But when moms and dads lie down to sleep at night in America today, They're not, maybe they should be, but they're not lying there worried about Iran, or they're not lying there worried about birthright citizenship. I'm not saying those things aren't important. Please don't misunderstand me. But the American people, they're not stupid. They may not read Aristotle every day because they're too busy earning a living, but they get it, and they get to make the final decision about what they want their government to emphasize, and I'm telling you, it's the economy, stupid. Carville was right when he told Clinton that.
My last question to you, because we've got to go, and I thank you so much for your time. Concern, where does it lie on the meter for you and the GOP right now? Whether it's because of what some folks on the right would label Trump derangement syndrome or something else. How concerned are you because of the vitriol aimed in the president's direction? In my opinion, sometimes justified, sometimes not. How concerned are you for the GOP as the midterms approach?
Well,
in terms of the Republicans losing power in the House of the Senate?
I don't know what's going to happen in the midterms. I'm not clairvoyant. I can't predict the future. I got to wait on it like everybody else. But I'll tell you what I am concerned about. I'm worried about the institutions of our government that we all have agreed that matter. I'll give you an example. In America, we don't sue or try to put into jail our political opponents. Now, President Biden did that with President Trump, and he unleashed spirits that he couldn't control. We don't do that in America. And it's not right if President Trump, now that he's in power, tries to do it to his political enemies. That's the sort of thing that doesn't happen in America. It happens in countries whose Powerball jackpots is 287 chickens and a goat. That's not America. The rule of law is supposed to control. It also bothers me when some people say the federal judges are all on the take, and we don't have to abide by what they say. Yes, we do. If you don't like what a federal judge does, you can cuss it, you can discuss it, or you can appeal it, but you can't ignore it. That's an institution that's part of our Constitution. And that's what worries me about America. And the fact
Senator
that we
John
all
Kennedy,
are just, we keep calling each other ignorant sluts. it's not productive. Everybody needs to take their meds and relax a little bit and try to listen to the other side.
Senator John Kennedy, we got to run. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want you to know, whether I agree or disagree with anybody, you always got a place here to make sure you express yourself.
You are a rock star, man. You're a rock star. I love your show.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time, and welcome back anytime. You take care of yourself. One and only Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. I like listening to him because I know that he means what he says. That's all I can ask. Really, to be quite honest with you. You understand? I disagree with them sometimes, but hey, I appreciate the candor. We need it. No question about that. And what he said in that last remark, he's absolutely on the money. We all know it's true. Need to type it down just a little bit and learn to talk with one another. That's how it starts, y'all. That's how it starts. Hour number two up next. Actually, we're going to end the hour in a minute. And then hour number two will start. Donna Brazile's coming into the house. Democratic strategist extraordinaire. Can't wait to talk to her as well. You're listening live, Straight Shooter, with yours truly, Stephen A. Back with more in a minute.